we welcome to the show right now the AFC North blogger for ESPN, our good friend Jameson Hensley. Jameson, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Vic?
Doing great, man, and a busy time for all of us as we get ready for this draft, but also other things going on with the teams in this division. I want to start with the Ravens and Ray Rice not being at their offseason workouts because of the contractual issue he has. Is he going to be satisfied enough to get something long-term that is going to not only have him aboard with the team, but soon enough that he's able to get ready for the season?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's going to be difficult just because there's a wide, I think, a wide gap right now between what they're looking for and what he's looking for. Obviously, every running back wants Adrian Peterson money, and that includes almost up to $30 million guaranteed. I think the Ravens be more likely to get a little bit lower, maybe like an Arian Foster deal, which is more like $20 million guaranteed. So you have a gap of $10 million. And that's very tough to bridge, even over a few months. I can see this thing dragging out. I can see it dragging out past the July 15th deadline, which means Ray Rice would be under the franchise tag for another year. I think next year that's going to be the pivotal moment. I don't think the Ravens would like to keep him under the franchise tag, but if they have to for a second straight year, I can see the Ravens doing it. They will not let Ray Rice go into free agency next year. They're going to do everything possible they can to keep him for at least another 2 years and possibly long term.
Yeah, too important a player for them. One player they did lose, a key guy, was Ben Grubbs, the left guard in free agency. So Ja Reed is the guy who's got the challenge of replacing him. I mean, how, when you look at him, I see a guy who certainly has the physical attributes to step into that position, but how ready do you think he is to fill some very big shoes there?
Yeah, I think that's a big question mark right now. And it wouldn't surprise me for that reason that the Ravens go guard in the first round. I mean, I think that's a very distinct possibility for him, because you're going from a Ben Grubbs, who is a Pro Bowl talent, to a Ja Reed, who, like you said, he's a physical guy. He was taken in the third round last year, but he's an offensive tackle by trade. So you're going from a Pro Bowl guy to a converted offensive tackle. I think that's a major step backward for them. But I think at this point they would like to get a guard in the first couple rounds, but they're not going to reach for someone. So if they're not able to address guard in the draft, I think Ja Reed is kind of the fallback option. And if he is the fallback option, I think a lot of eyes are going to be on him, because I think the Ravens are just so unsure what they're going to get out of him at left guard.
Right, and that is such a big issue, because, as you say, it impacts what they would do in the draft. And wondered if you also looked at the possibility of them going linebacker, because they're getting older in that core with Ray Lewis. Maybe the inside linebacker from Alabama, Dont'a Hightower, might be a good pick for them at 29 as well.
Yeah, and believe me, whenever you're talking about Alabama players, you know, Ozzie Newsome is the biggest Alabama fan out there.
Right.
And when you have a two-time captain on that team with Hightower, I think that's a very attractive option. And like you said, the Ravens sometimes don't go and say, hey, they need a left guard, so let's draft a left guard. They usually take the best player available. And sometimes they kind of draft for the future. And Ray Lewis, hey, he's lasted longer, probably 3 or 4 years longer than a lot of people expected. But still, over the next couple of years, it just seems like the reality is that they're going to have to replace him. So why would not go and get a Hightower, a guy that you could bring in, maybe learn under Lewis for a year, then can maybe become the heir apparent. So I totally agree with you. I think Hightower is definitely on the Ravens' radar.
Jameson Hensley, he's the AFC North blogger for ESPN, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. As we move around the rest of the AFC North, Jameson, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the lingering story there, I guess, is Mike Wallace, who really isn't going anywhere so far, and maybe it doesn't look like he's going to end up anywhere. And just curious as to how you saw the market for him. Were you surprised that it maybe didn't get some traction?
I think a lot of things worked against him. I think there would have been a market for him, but you know, Brandon Lloyd went to the New England Patriots. I think they were a team that would have been interested in him. And also the San Francisco 49ers would have been, but they got Mario Manningham and Randy Moss. So those teams filled their needs in free agency. If they didn't fill those needs early in free agency, I think right now we'd be talking about, hey, one of these teams could be signing him to an offer sheet. Other teams aren't interested in Mike Wallace at this point because, I mean, just for the basic fact, there are a lot of good wide receivers in this draft. I think wide receiver is one of the deepest positions in this draft. So I think those factors really worked against Mike Wallace. He's still, believe me, he's one of the top five receivers, as everybody knows, that watches the Steelers. I just think a lot of factors worked against him from getting that interest.
And the Steelers picking 24th overall, can you see them probably focused on an offensive lineman, specifically an offensive tackle? It seems to me that this draft would have a couple of people available down there, like, say, a Cordy Glenn from Georgia or perhaps a Mike Adams from Ohio State.
Yeah, and in the Steelers, if you've seen their track record over the past few years, they have put a more emphasis on the offensive line. They selected center Marquise Pouncey in 2010 in the first round. They went with tackle Marcus Gilbert in the second round last year. So you can see, hey, they realize Ben Roethlisberger is the key to the offense. They got to do everything they can to protect him. And then I just saw this one stat that just kind of blew me away, is that they had a league-high 25 different offensive line combinations last year. So that just kind of spoke to the instability they have on that offensive line. So I really do feel like they have to go first, second, or third round. They have to draft kind of early. They have to address the offensive line just because I think that's one of the biggest needs on their team.
The Cincinnati Bengals, Jameson, when we look at them, and again, defense seems to be the thrust of what they want to do to improve that football team. They got their quarterback Andy Dalton last year, A.J. Green. Looks like a lot of those key pieces are in place, but it seems like the story shifts there. Now they trade Keith Rivers to the linebacker to the New York Giants. Where does that leave them, you think, thinking in this draft?
Yeah, I mean, with Marvin Lewis, they always have that kind of defensive mentality. What I liked about what they did, especially on defense, they did fill a lot of spots where they don't have to kind of really go out and reach. They did trade Keith Rivers away. They have Thomas Howard already in place to take his starting spot. So I think as far as defensively, the one spot that I think they have a little bit of concern about is at safety. They re-signed Reggie Nelson, which they wanted to do, but they also recently released Chris Crocker. Taylor Mays, the former high draft pick from the San Francisco 49ers, is now penciled in at that spot, but I could see them, if a safety like Mark Barron falls down and the Bengals have two first-rounders, I think he could be an attractive option for them.
Jameson, the Browns draft, you know how critical it is for them, but in particular, how pivotal, I guess, it could be for the entire league as far as how the draft unfolds with those 4th and 22nd picks and the 37th pick, 13 picks overall that they take into this draft. How do you see them going? Because there's just such a wide variety of opinion out there on what they could do it for, the various positions they could address, and really no one that I talk with outside of the team has a good feel or handle on what they're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, believe me, if I had to pick, Alabama running back Trent Richardson would be by far, I think, the choice for me. I think he would take the pressure off of Colt McCoy. He's a guy that you can give the ball 20, 25 times to. If he has success, then the play action works so much better. So I think it would be a win-win situation for Colt McCoy. But overall, and like I said before, you can't reach just for position. But like you said, they have three early picks in this draft. I think a perfect draft for the Browns would be if they could address running back, wide receiver, and right tackle. If they could get those three positions addressed with those top picks, I think that would set the Browns up not only well for this season, but I think for the long term as well.
Jameson, also a lot of anticipation today for the NFL schedules release. And just some thoughts. I mean, as we look at the AFC North as a whole, as competitive a division as there is, maybe the toughest division in the league, certainly the four defenses being in the top 10 gave it a real distinction in 2011. And as we see it, and strong defense has been the story of the division for a long time, but as we see it with, again, teams like the Ravens, the Steelers, the Bengals getting better and being a playoff team as well. Do you see maybe the idea that we'll see a lot of these teams? I know everybody gets at least one primetime shot because of NFL Network's Thursday night games that they have expanded Thursday night schedule. But in general, I would imagine we're going to just see a lot of these teams dominating the primetime spotlight.
Oh, definitely. And I mean, obviously, you know, one of the Ravens-Steelers games, that one of them is going to be on primetime. And then for the Bengals, they have Oakland, and just the whole storyline with Carson Palmer, I think they're guaranteed of that game being on primetime. With the Browns, you always have the kind of the attractive rivalries with the Steelers and the Ravens. And I think that's where it's going to come down. Last year, it was the primetime game against the Steelers. I think this year it could be a Browns-Ravens that we're seeing in primetime. But really, there is so much, I think, a lot more attention now on this division. Not only did you say about, you mentioned about the defenses and how dominant they were last year, but this is the only division that had three playoff teams last year. And I think that says a lot about the competitiveness of this division. And I can see the same three teams being strong again. And with the draft picks that the Browns have, they're going to be a lot tougher than they were last year as well.
I could see a lot of late nights for Jamison Hensley covering football.
I do. I foresee that in my future as well.
Jamison, thank you so much for your time. We greatly appreciate it.
Oh, anytime, Vic. Thank you.
He is Jamison Hensley. He is the AFC North blogger for ESPN, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12. EA Sports, it's in the game.